We're going to return to our series of the walk of the Christian, where we are just looking at different verses in the New Testament where it has the expression walk, and it is giving us instruction of how we as followers of Christ are to live out our lives. And because it's been a month since we have been in this because of Christmas and New Year's and last week the year verse presentation, let me just quickly review what we've done so far just to refresh your memory. If you've missed any of these, you can go to the website or go to the YouTube channel and catch up if you need to. So the first one we looked at was we were called to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, or another place says worthy of the gospel. And we noted this is an expression that's found in four different places in the New Testament letters. So it's a repeated call for us to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. And you see the references there. But we learned that this walk in a manner worthy of had a picture behind it, and the picture was that of a scale, and what it was trying to call us to, or was calling us to, was saying that there should be this balance, if you can think of the scale, between our profession of, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus, and the way we live that out. It shouldn't be one of these lopsided things, but there should be somewhat of a balance between our profession and our practice. I was thinking through that, and I thought back to our memory verse from last April, 1 Corinthians 9:27. I don't have the sheets in front of you. If you want to try to say it with me, that's fine. Remember, Paul said, I discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. You think about it, that's what that verse is saying. It's talking about the fact that as we share Christ with other people, we want to make sure there's this balance between our profession and our practice so that we don't come across as hypocrites. We don't talk to them about Jesus, but as they've watched our lives, they realize, boy, if that's what a Christian is, I'm really not that interested. So that memory verse from April really was an example, another way of saying this first walk verse. I refer to this first one as kind of a general call in regards to how we are to live and walk as Christians. We are to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. And then as we've got into these other verses, you really could view it this way. They're kind of a description or an explanation of how to live out this first one, what this first one looks like. They don't have to be outlined that way, but that's the way I kind of see them. So as we get into these second ones, how do we walk in a manner worthy of the Lord? Well, one way is by walking in the newness of life that came about through salvation. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Before salvation, we were slaves to sin, trapped by sin, by our sinful nature. But through salvation, and then when we came to faith in Christ, another thing happened. The Holy Spirit came to live inside of us. And through that, we literally are able now to live in a new kind of life, the Christian life as it's called. And that's one of the ways we show that we're walking in a manner worthy of Christ, by walking in this newness of life. The tragedy is that far too many Christians still walk too much by their old way of life, even though they claim, proclaim that they are Christians. Another way we walk in a manner worthy of the Lord is by walking by faith, not by sight. Faith in God's truth. Faith in God's promises, faith in God, how God leads us, and so much more. And we saw a great illustration and model of this particular walk verse in our year verse from last year, Romans 9:19-21 with Abraham. We saw Abraham was someone who didn't deny reality, but he walked by faith in God and God's promises and not by just focusing on what sight said. Another way we walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, the next one we looked at, was by walking by the Spirit and not carrying out the desire of our sinful flesh. When we walk by the Spirit, we are yielding to the Spirit's authority over our life. We're yielding to His leading in our lives all throughout our day. And what we learn here, or reminded of here, is when we're walking in that Spirit-filled life, a marvelous thing happens. He works in me. He changes me, and changes me to the extent that I am not then carrying out the desires of my sinful flesh. Another way we walk in a manner worthy of the Lord is by walking in love. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. Although we brought in verse 1 of that chapter, which talks about imitating God. So this is also one of the ways we are imitators of God, by walking in love. And we looked at two specific ways that's fleshed out in our lives. One is we're to have a forgiving type of love toward people who do us wrong. And secondly, we are to have a giving, self-sacrificing type of love. Both of those things were modeled in the Lord Jesus Christ, were they not? The next way we can walk in a manner worthy of the Lord is by walking as children of light, Ephesians 5:8, which also is another way we imitate God, because God always walks in light. But as I was reading this one again, it struck me that this is kind of a just simply another way of saying that first one, of walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, because this verse, I didn't put the verse out there for you, but Ephesians 5:8 starts with talking about that we were once in formerly darkness. That's where we were. That's who we are. That's how we lived in darkness. But we have been rescued from that. We've been brought into the light. That's profession. That's salvation. And now that we've been brought into the light, we are to walk as children of the light. That's practice. And so you see profession, practice in this verse as well. So that's where we've been over these weeks. Today, we're still in Ephesians 5 because there's three walk verses in this chapter. So we come to this next one, verse 15, and it tells us this. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men or people, but as wise. So as we've been learning in this study, the term walk refers to our lifestyle, our daily conduct, our daily patterns. And so Paul is saying, be careful that your daily life, your daily choices, your daily conduct are lived in wisdom. And of course, we know he's talking about godly wisdom, biblical wisdom, that we're living in God's wisdom, and thus not in foolishness, not in an unwise way. We are to walk or live as godly, wise people. I wonder how much pain, how much sadness, even depression, unfulfillment in life, how many problems are experienced in life simply because they are tied into people who are walking in an unwise way? How much of unwise living generates those kinds of things in people's lives, even in Christians' lives? They have unwise patterns. They have unwise priorities. And that leads to unwise choices. And they don't see it, maybe. Or maybe they see it and just choose to ignore it because they want their own way, whatever. But it leads to a host of issues, negative issues in people's lives. Now, as we think about this, many of the things that we could list, they're not necessarily in and of themselves evil or wrong. I mean, we could debate that, I guess. But at the very least, we could label many of these things as unwise to be in our lives. And because they're unwise, they're going to produce negative, harmful things in my life. And that's going to spill over to my family as well. It can even spill over to one's church as well. And so a lot of times when I'm talking with people or counseling with people, I like to ask him this question: is that wise? Is it wise to participate in that? Is it wise to be involved in that activity or that action? Is that a wise action to be involved in? Or sometimes it's this question: is it wise to be in that relationship with that particular person? Was that a wise choice you made? Or is this a wise choice you're telling me you're thinking about making? But the question, is it wise? And what I'm attempting to do in asking that question is really what this verse is talking about. trying to get them to see and steer them so they choose a wise way to walk instead of the foolish way they have been engaged in or are proposing to go down a foolish road. You know, there are so many activities and relationships and patterns and influences that people can invite into their lives that in reality are very unwise. And there are things, as I said a minute ago, they're harmful things. They produce harmful things. They produce negative things in our lives, but not just my life. It spills over many times to our family as well. And so we need to understand when we're choosing to live in unwise ways, you don't always see the immediate negative consequences of that. And that's especially true if it's family and you've got younger children in your home. It may be years later before you see the fallout from some of those unwise choices and priorities. As your children grow up, you start seeing that. And then the heartache that that brings, and to realize it's because of unwise choices I made earlier as a person and as the husband or wife or the father or mother of my children. And yet, I've also seen the heartache, and yet the people still don't get the connection sometimes. Connect the dots of why some of the reason they're experiencing this within their family. Here's another side to this. Sometimes there's nothing, as I said, wrong in a particular thing or an activity that a person is doing. But sometimes it's not done in moderation. Let me paint a picture for you. I'll make a contrast for you. As many of you know, I love playing sports. The fun of it, the competitiveness of it. It doesn't have to be an organized thing. It just be a pickup game. It could be a game of ping pong. I love playing sports. But as some of you also know, I had to put that aside a few years back because of tearing my meniscus. And then after the surgery for several years, I couldn't run. I couldn't jump. The impact, just like I could feel that still in my knee. And so how grateful I was a year and a half ago when Denise got us playing pickleball. And I found out I could do it. If I could say it this way, it just scratched an itch for me. It brought back a particular gladness to me, all right? Now, as much as I love playing sports, it never really held a prominent place in my life or my schedule because of the kind of job I had and the big family. It couldn't hold a prominent place in my schedule. So let me paint the contrast. I wasn't trying to paint a rosy picture of me. But here's the other side of that. When I was serving in the church in Columbia, our senior pastor that I worked with, he was doing marriage counseling. And this particular couple that he was counseling with had great difficulties and figured out the main problem was that the husband, the man, played on three different softball teams. And so between all the practices and all the games, he just rarely was at home. And so his wife was almost like a widow. He just wasn't there. And so I remember one day Chuck, Pastor Lecky, saying to him, confronting him about this as he became to understand what was the situation, he confronted him and says, "You are having an affair." And the man almost went ballistic, just vehemently denied that. And Chuck said to him, "Oh, I'm not talking about having an affair with a woman. Your affair is with softball. Softball is your mistress." And by the way, that's how his wife viewed it. That's how she felt, that softball had the place in her husband's heart that she was supposed to have in her husband's heart. There was no moderation there. Three softball teams, practices, and games every week. And I remember at that time, Chuck shared with him I don't know if it's original with Chuck or he's got it from somewhere else, but he shared with him a definition of what an affair is. And I've shared with you a couple of times when we've been in passages talking about marriage. I always share it in premarital counseling. But this was his definition of affair. I have never forgotten it. It's any activity, person, or interest where I give my time, my interest, my attention to that, softball, whatever it is, that I should be giving to my spouse. And that's what this man was definitely doing. He was giving his interest, his time, and all of that to softball when he should have been giving a whole lot more of it to his wife. Now, there's nothing wrong or evil about playing softball. But it was very unwise for him in terms of his marriage to not have somewhat of a moderation in how he was involved in that. You see what I'm talking about in terms of moderation? I know of a husband who would stay up very late at night reading mystery novels. He loved mystery novels. And so frequently his wife would have to go to bed alone. And his marriage greatly suffered. I've known of people who are into video games and stay up late playing video games excessively. And marriages and relationships have suffered. So, there are other examples I could give in regard to this, marriage-related, not marriage-related, but I think you see what I'm trying to say, that sometimes there's nothing wrong in a particular thing, but we need to be wise in how much time we give ourselves to that, that particularly it's not hurting other people in our life, relationships, not hurting us in terms of taking us away from time we ought to be with the Lord or serving the Lord either. And sometimes hobbies and so forth, we can be guilty of too much. You know, there's so many things pulling for our time today. And one of the categories that pulls at our time is that we are such an entertainment, fun-driven culture. And so much of our time and money are given to some form of entertainment. That can be entertainment in your home or otherwise. Or are just fun-driven, and that can impact church life as well. And so here's just another area, brethren, where we just need the wisdom and direction and leading and discernment of God to know and discerning the rightness or the balance or the moderation of a particular thing. So look back at the verse again, just the first part of the verse. Paul says, "Therefore, be careful how you walk." Look up here, New King James puts it this way, "See then that you walk circumspectly." I like that. That's not a term you hear used very often anymore, but it's a great word. Basically, the word means this: accurately, carefully, cautiously, thoughtfully, watchfully. It has the idea of looking and examining and investigating something with great care. It carries the idea of alertness, whether this is good, whether this is creating harm in my life or my family, my spiritual life. And how can it impact me? How can it impact my family? And so we do in this world we live in, we need to be extremely alert because as I think I prayed earlier, we're walking around in a literal minefield all around us. And so we need to make sure we're walking circumspectly with alertness, with caution because of the minefields around us. And yet, we need a balance in that too, if I could say it that way. Because sometimes in our desire for caution, and particularly with our children, sometimes in our desire for caution, we can let the pendulum swing too far to one side and it becomes kind of like a big list of rules. Can't do this, can't do that, can't do this, can't do that. Saying no, 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 out of our caution. And so we need a balance in that. We need the wisdom of the Lord. We got to make sure we're not just saying no, 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 but finding things to say yes, yes to, or alternatives for our kids to be able to be involved in something, to do things as a family, whatever, and not just saying no, 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 no. So there's a place for balance there as well. Well, I could keep going. There's a lot of things that flood into my mind. I'm sure yours too. When you think about living unwisely. And we could come up with I could put a big whiteboard up here. We could start making a list. I could have made a list and put it on the PowerPoint for you. But I realize that's probably not the wisest use of my time. Because sometimes what happens when you start making lists, there goes that pendulum again. And they can cross over into a legalistic type of thinking. And so my challenge to you in your situation, you seek the Lord. You seek the Lord's guidance and discernment for you and or you and your family to the yeses and to the noes and to the balances and moderation. You seek it. Because we're not always going to agree on every single fact of that anyway. You seek it. You have the Holy Spirit living within you. Now, let's shift gears for a little bit. When you and I were born, we're born with a sinful nature. We're blinded to spiritual things, and so we don't naturally have true wisdom. And so as we come to Christ, something changes. And the Bible calls us now to grow in wisdom. So I'd like to just explore for a couple of minutes, how do we gain wisdom? How do we grow in wisdom? And you could come up with this list as well. So here's the first one. First of all, through salvation. You think, what do you mean by that? I simply mean this. At salvation, the eyes of our spiritual heart and spiritual mind are open. We've been in blindness. We've been in spiritual darkness. And through salvation, our spiritual eyes are open and we begin to see and understand things that we were blinded to. And so there's a wisdom that comes from just having the spiritual eyes of your heart open. Through salvation, we're rescued from being slaves to sin. We are given, the Bible tells us, we're a new creation. We have a new heart. The Holy Spirit comes and unites Himself with our spirit. And all of that brings just in itself a wisdom to us that we didn't have before. That's one key way, obviously. You have to start there, that we gain wisdom. A second way, you know this, we gain wisdom through regularly, seriously, reading God's Word. Not just doing a quick thing, but seriously, regularly reading it. What was our memory verse from September? 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scriptures inspired by God's profitable for what? Teaching, correction, reproof, training in righteousness, so that we'll be adequate, equipped to live out this Christian life. And you read through the Psalms and you find so often this connection between the Word of God and wisdom. Here are a few examples. Psalm 119, 104. From your precepts I get understanding. What's the result of that? Because I have godly understanding now, I hate every false or every unwise way. Because I have true understanding now from your word. Here's another one, Psalm 119. I remember what year, I remember verses all came from Psalm 119. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies. Can I put a parenthesis there? Your commandments make me wiser than the experts. Your commandments make me wiser than my friends. I don't mean that in any kind of arrogant way. Your commandments make me wiser than the popular Christian books maybe that are being sold. We start here. God uses some of these other things, yes. Well, we start with God's Word. Here's one more. You know this one, very big chapter about God's Word in Psalm 19, verse 7. The testimony of the Lord is sure, it makes wise the simple. I'm glad He said that. I'm a simple person. Makes wise the simple. God's Word. But what happens in our day and time, too many people turn to the experts. Too many people turn to the popular Christian books, to the popular podcasts. And you know it, but they're not always spot on biblically, right? You got to compare them with God's Word. So we start with God's Word. We check everything else by it. What time is it? Our monthly memory verses this year. We're focusing on growing in wisdom. And so we're looking at the book of Proverbs, just a preview of some of those. Just quickly run through these. He who is slow to anger has great understanding. Who is quick-tempered exerts folly. We have wisdom realizing that I need to be a person that's slow to anger. The only way I can do that is in dependence upon the Holy Spirit in my life. Gentle answer turns away wrath. That's a wise person who understands that precept, that truth. A man's pride will bring him low. Humble spirit will obtain honor. We need to understand God's wisdom and what this is saying about that. So often pride is an issue in people's lives. That ruins us. And then two of my favorite proverbs, they say basically the same thing. You've heard me do these before. Proverbs 16:2. All the ways of a man are clean, or they seem right in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. Verse 2 of chapter 21, every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. I may slip in, when we do these verses this year, the Living Bible paraphrase, because I just so love it. It goes like this. We can always prove that we're right, but is the Lord convinced? Well, that's convicting, isn't it? We can justify our every deed, can we not? But the Lord looks at our motives. That's a great paraphrase. So we're going to be looking at Proverbs because one of the reasons we want to grow in wisdom this year through memorizing these precepts. Another way we grow in wisdom is through living the Spirit-filled life, because then the Holy Spirit is active in our life, freely moving in our life, teaching us, guiding us, leading us, warning us, providing insight, revealing blind spots, empowering us. But in all of that, he's providing wisdom so that we don't carry out the desires of the flesh. And then there are going to be situations that come up where we're just not sure what we're supposed to do. So we go to James 1:5 and he says, well, if you don't know, ask. Because I'm a God who gives liberally, generously, when you come and ask in faith. So for the Christian, these are ways, and you can add some more, but these are basic ways that we gain and we grow in wisdom. Now, another little shift as we finish up here. Talking about being wise, talking about wise living, talking about wisdom. What is it? What is wisdom? And the world has its definition. So often it ties it to having knowledge or intelligence. But we want to know what godly wisdom is. What is biblical wisdom? And so there was a definition I learned years and years ago that I have appreciated and remember and still use. It goes like this. Wisdom is seeing and responding to life from God's perspective. Or in other words, from God's point of view. From God's understanding. Seeing life from God's point of view, responding to that, what God says. That is biblical wisdom. Seeing life and responding to life from God's perspective. And it's because of that, that's what leads Christians to emphasize different things than other people do. That's what leads Christians to have different priorities than many do. That's what leads Christians to respond to people in situations differently than most of the world does. That's what leads Christians to teach their children certain morals and certain truths that others don't. That's why we walk and live differently than many other people do. Not because we think we're better. Not because we think we're smarter. It's just that we believe in the God of creation. We believe in the holy, almighty God who set truths down, and truths that bring blessings and falsehoods that bring consequences. And so we have a relationship with Him, and through that relationship, we see life from His perspective and therefore make choices based on that perspective that He has about life. And that's wisdom. That's living with wisdom. That's walking wisely. Seeing and responding to life from God's perspective. So in saying all of this to us today, it still boils down to individual choices, right? We can know, we can be taught God's truth, but I still must make the choice to walk in them, or else I'm walking in a foolish way and as an unwise person. So here's our walk verse for today again. Walk wisely, Ephesians 5:15. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. And then it's our call to make sure we're pursuing those things that we've mentioned and talked about this morning that enables us to know and to grow in wisdom. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this challenge today, this reminder today. Lord, this is again true in so many lives, but maybe there's some fine tuning that you want to do for us. Or maybe for some, it really is a clear call to be someone who walks in godly wisdom and not in the unwise foolishness of the world. So you know where we are this morning, and we trust your Holy Spirit to open eyes, to bring conviction if necessary, to guide our steps and how you want us to respond. But Lord, help us to respond to you. And I give you thanks. In Christ's name, amen.